What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we'll be discussing a topic that literally scares me, burnout. Burnout affects a lot of people, and I could totally see myself in this category if I don't start developing ways to manage my work-life balance. I have an integrative MD on the podcast to educate us on the signs of burnout and actionable tips to prevent it from happening. So with that, let me introduce our special guest. Dr. Joanne Wu brings her experience as a rehabilitation medicine doctor who specializes in real, functional, sustainable wellness, together with a deep curiosity and education. As a fitness expert, an experienced yoga teacher, licensed acupuncturist, passionate about mindful health coaching, Dr. Wu delivers corporate health delivery program design, preventative health initiatives, and mind-body empowerment projects. Innovative, passionate, and results-focused medical leader with proven track record and success in clinical, academic, and entrepreneurial settings. Solid and unique background, rich in care of diverse rehabilitation populations, and excels in integrative health by combining experience skills in complementary approaches, fitness, and wellness strategies. Double board in physical medicine and rehabilitation and integrative and holistic medicine, and pursued additional MBA studies. Excellent communication skills and leads, coaches and mentors by modeling to create strong teams that are motivated, dedicated, and compassionate. She's an author of various publications and speaker at a multitude of engagements. Education through empowerment of the community and personal health and transformation is the hallmark of continual growth and positive accomplishments. Helping reduce the burden of chronic illnesses through caring pathways, inspiring corporate partners to develop mindful, sustainable wellness programs, and improving quality and mutual accountability are drivers for career development and progression. Dr. Wu says, when we have our health, we have everything we need for true and lasting well-being. Welcome to the podcast, Doc.
Well, thank you so much.
What an intro right there. That is a great bio. You've done a lot.
That is a mouthful for sure.
You are very accomplished, and I'm looking forward to today's chat.
I think you're quite accomplished yourself, and I am too. Very inspired by our conversation today.
So tell us your story. What or who inspired you to get into the health and wellness space?
That's a great question. I think, you know, how I started in medicine was really from my parents. My parents were both nurses. And when I was younger, they really saw me as a healer and they encouraged me to go into medicine. I was fighting it for a while because I thought that that wasn't going to be the space because my parents are kind of clinicians and I wanted to charter my own path. But as I was shadowing different physicians when I was in Boston at that time frame, they just all inspired me to take care of people. And then when I went into the medical field as a medical student, I started to realize how health and well-being aren't necessarily synonymous with disease management, what we've been trying to do in healthcare. So I sought different types of training in integrative and holistic approaches to really supplement what I was learning in school. So I think I was kind of a unicorn from the beginning, and I'm glad to report with time, you know, through years and different networking opportunities, I've met more healers, people that are really focused on preventative strategies, lifestyle medicine options. So we can really go back to the roots of what it means to take care of our body and find ease in our body as opposed to just managing that disease.
Amen. That's how we met on Instagram. You reached out and we just had a great conversation. I called you and we chatted for, I don't know, it felt like 30 minutes. It was probably 5 or 10 minutes, but we decided on a topic and then I started following you. You post some great stuff.
Yeah. Same to you. It's nice. I think social media has a lot of benefits that we're just tapping into about linking hands and sharing information. It is really great to be mutually inspired.
Your posts make me want to breathe and get outdoors.
Yes. Nature is a fantastic healer. It's definitely been for me.
So what type of doctor are you?
So my board certification is in physical medicine and rehabilitation, or PM&R for short. It was a field that was developed around the time of the wars, World War II in particular, where vets were coming back with chronic pain issues, musculoskeletal issues, spinal cord injuries, amputations, and they realized that there was a gap in specialties to try to take care of these veterans. They would repair them, but there was really no one to really coach them to go back to the highest level of function that they were meant to. So that's how the field was born. With time, the field has grown and there's further subspecialties. I'm very happy to be part of a spine and pain team. So I do a lot of functional pain management right now for Rochester Regional.
Let's talk about burnout. So why is burnout so common in our culture today?
I think in particular, obviously stating the obvious, COVID has really put a wrench in burnout numbers. Burnout is beyond just feeling depressed or suffering from major depression or having anxiety. It actually manifests more so with this chronic high level of stress that we encounter, whether it's at work or taking care of family members, your kids or your parents, right? You know, the sandwich generation, you have this high level of burden and your body just somatically develops fatigue issues, can't sleep, can't focus, memory impairments, chronic myalgias, arthralgias. And I think before COVID, it was already starting to rise. We are a society really focusing on producing, right? Really trying to work more, work harder. There's almost this badge of honor to do that. And I think with time, we hit this apex where the more we work, the worse it is. And we haven't really recognized on how to have that conversation in a meaningful way. And COVID, with all the uncertainties around, I think has jacked that uncertainty to a point where burnout is a huge pandemic.
Mm-hmm. So you look at a high achiever, you look at a type A individual, kind of like, I guess, probably both of us, you know, we're very driven, we're go. But what could that do to our minds and bodies internally? On the outside, they might look healthy, in really good shape, but I see this a lot in practice. They're broken inside. So what is going on?
In terms of what happens in burnout or what got them to that point where that productivity is driving?
I guess once they're there at burnout, what is going on metabolically and internally that is not good for their health?
That high cortisol level is not good. And with that high cortisol level, it drives up your sympathetics. You have this chronic blood pressure issue. Again, it starts to impact your sleep, your ability to regulate those hormones that help you have a restful night's sleep, or even just falling asleep at the standpoint. You're not able to focus. Your processing speeds are slower. All those things start to be a huge impact. And I think it's not necessarily always just like the type A, go, go, go. I think there's definitely a culture where that high rev can produce those burnout symptoms. But I've also seen folks that, again, being care providers, I see that a lot with my patients where they're taking care of sick family members at home, they're their parents or taking care of their kids, and they just have no time to take for themselves. To even analyze how they feel, right? Because they're worried about what everybody else is feeling, this compassion fatigue that starts to happen. The body system just starts to shut down.
So it's really a domino effect, though. It spills over into your sleep, into your mood. It's not just maybe physically you feeling exhausted, but then productivity is going to suffer. Your sleep's going to suffer. Everything is going to suffer.
That's correct. You know, a lot of these folks, and as you know, we are a very symptom-driven society in terms of how we take care of people, right? You know, you list all these symptoms to the providers that you see, and we can just chalk it up to a hormonal imbalance or, again, you're just depressed or like you're just anxious. It's beyond that. Like, you know, there's this whole constellation of just almost this heavier set energy that people start to carry when their body just can't handle that load anymore.
Have you ever experienced burnout?
100% I have.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's one of the reasons why I speak about mental health and burnout so often. Being at my stage of life, I'm 12 years into my career. As we mentioned, I've studied and I'm driven. I opened up different businesses. And at different points, you feel like you can juggle those balls pretty efficiently and multitask. But at some point, something starts to slip. And unless you're really recognizing it, you start to become jaded. You just can't, you're just not yourself anymore. And it took this moment of taking a big step back where I was talking to loved ones that were just like, hey, I'm worried about you. Like, you just don't seem the same, you know? Mm-hmm. And I could see my performance suffer. Not just in terms of how much I could achieve, but the quality, the connections I would have with my patients and my loved ones, I could see it in, you know, being more mindful and really diving deep in my yoga practice saved me 100%. And having the opportunity to have open dialogue with people saved me. I start to become less shaming and blaming about these emotions I was feeling. Our culture doesn't really endorse that open dialogue as much. And it's sad.
Yeah. So let's talk about preventing burnout. So how do we, what are some actionable tips to prevent burnout?
I think at this standpoint, the biggest thing that you can do is slow down and breathe. And then that seems so simple, right? But whenever you feel overwhelmed, when you're seeing that there's multiple things are in front of you and you just can't focus in that state of trying to multitask, that's a time to feel your feet on the ground, take a couple breaths and really allow those ripples in your head and your heart to start to quiet and make that a very routine mindful practice in your daily life. Other things I think are very helpful is, as I mentioned, open dialogue. Having a small trusted circle. It doesn't have to be a medical professional. It's just a trusted circle to be like, hey, you know what? I'm starting to feel overwhelmed and not be ashamed of that, right? Starting to really accept and own your emotions, be proud of that, and know that with every conversation that you have in a very intentional, genuine way, it's very therapeutic. And if you're not a talker, writing things down, having this gratitude journal, being very grateful about the things that you do have and how you're achieving that will also help reset your energy and your focus and overall what you radiate out into the world. And I always believe in this idea of energy shrinking and expanding, and it's always in you, right? So having these things circulate around can be very good. Exercise, obviously, is a huge passion of mine. I know is it with you too, like that mindful fitness, this opportunity to get a good sweat in, you know?
I don't know where I would be without exercise. I would be lost. Yeah. I would just be a basket case.
Yes. This idea of getting yourself to sweat.
Yeah.
You know, getting to the point where your heart is pumping, where you feel yourself being alive, right? And really feel what it means to be like to be in this life and for this moment that you're like, wow, this is really cool that my body is able to do this as I function this way.
I agree. Really that's my big why with training, to sweat. Mm-hmm. I remember telling somebody that before and they were so confused. They did not understand that. And I'm like, I don't know. I just have like this transformation. I just feel different. Mm-hmm. Mind, body, soul connection is just on point. I'm ready for the day.
Yes. And it doesn't have to be a lot. I mean, I was a competitive athlete all my life, you know, various sports all throughout high school and college. And I was a competitive triathlete and marathoner for 10 years. And I don't train at that pace anymore. There's no way my body's telling me something different. My workout routine is every morning about 20 to 45 minutes, depending on how I feel that day or what I've done the day before, just to do something healthy for my body and get that little bit of that sweat in. And it's just a great start to my being.
So we got breath work, we got dialogue and relationships, we've got exercise, anything else?
Yep. So journaling, as I mentioned, at the same point can be very, very, yep. And I think beyond that is really having this opportunity to be okay with whatever emotions that you are dealing with at that moment in time. That's self-acceptance, you know, working on that piece is very good.
about nutritionally? How do we prevent or treat burnout nutritionally?
Yeah, obviously what we ingest changes our energy overall. I certainly believe in a diet that's not going to spike up your sugars. So then you're going to have these ripple effects in how your body is metabolizing energy profile. So you'll be more even. But there's not a lot that I will tell patients to be like, per se, a typical diet for inflammation, for pain that I talk to patients about wouldn't necessarily apply to burnout per se. But I would say eat what's right for your body. Hmm. Make sure that for you, your energies aren't spiking. And for some people, it's going to be more of a keto-based diet. For some, it's going to be more of a Mediterranean diet. For some, it's going to be like gluten-free. My perspective on nutrition is really individualized. I don't think there's a one size diet fits all. And I don't think everybody's metabolism is going to be responding to having a little bit of food all the time, but some really do. It all depends on how you exercise, how you move, you know? So I think that would be an individualized conversation, but yes, I do believe in what you ingest does affect your well-being.
What about ashwagandha and other supplements like that, adaptogens?
Yeah, I am not big into taking a lot of supplements except for some for inflammation. So turmeric is my regular supplement.
Turmeric.
So I really believe in that for just trying to help with the chronic aches and pains that can be developing in our bodies. And obviously pain is a sensitive driver to our mood as well and our perceived level of function. So I use that quite often. I also take collagen quite a bit to help with my joint health. So those are the two key supplements that I use. Obviously when the burnout starts to affect your sleep, things like melatonin to help regulate and stabilize those membranes can be good. And for some people who feel that their hormones are slightly off with their thyroids, the armor thyroid can be helpful. But my recommendation, if there is a desire to learn more about that, is we are so lucky in Rochester, I think. I don't know how you feel about it, but naturopathic physicians in the community have been, you know, who I go to talk about some of these supplements. So I would say inviting one of them on to talk about that particular piece would be your next best thing.
Thank you for that recommendation. I like it. I'm writing that down. Welcome. So talking about collagen, do you take glucosamine chondroitin or is it just a collagen?
It's just a collagen supplement. Sometimes I use it in terms of a powder when I'm blending it in. I sometimes actually blend it in my buttered coffee. It can be very, very helpful in the morning.
Ooh, but, that tastes good.
They come in capsules. Yeah, it does. It actually gives a nice body to that coffee.
So intermittent fasting, I'm curious in your take on that because I've done that for years. However, my blood work's showing that my cortisol is actually higher. My blood sugar has been higher, homocysteine higher. So we're figuring out that maybe that's not for me. And just like you said, with nutritional plans, it's very individualized. So very you might be thinking that it's going to really help everybody eating less, which maybe it does, but I've really backed off on that. And maybe I'll do it once or twice a week as opposed to every day.
Exactly that. Nutrition is so individualized. It's a very complex thing. And so I am not a big fan about saying like this diet is 100% great for this particular problem. Once we start lumping people into these big, huge categories, then we take away this pleasure of eating. And everybody's taste buds and what they lean towards and again what they do for their exercise, if they exercise, it's going to dramatically change how their body wants to process that nutrition.
We got to remember too that intermittent fasting is a stressor on the body, especially if we're fasting 16, 18, 20 hours a day and you're really pushing it, you know, and maybe your body doesn't need another stressor.
Yes. So like we'll use IF like for particularly for endurance athletes, right? You're going to, let's say you're training for marathons or ultras, an intermittent fasting diet is not recommended. It's just going to change how your muscle is going to break down. So again, it has to go back to what that person's demands are on the day-to-day basis, what their genetics are. And they get, you can't eat food that doesn't sing to you. Like what's the point of living if you're just eating things for the it's health, right? You know, this is not like stuffing a Brussels sprout in front of a child and be like, okay, this is good fiber for you to eat, right? We're beyond that. This has to be worth something.
Yeah. So you clearly practice what you preach. I mean, when you follow you on Instagram, when you look at you, like you're a fit person, you look like a very healthy person. So how do you win the day? Take me through a normal day for you.
I love how you said, how do you win the day? I think I'll tell you what my daily routine is. I wake up around like 5:30 time frame to 6 o'clock and slowly kind of get myself up, you know, snuggle with my dog and just kind of be grateful, take a couple deep breaths and just kind of really wake up to the day. I used to not like that, actually. I used to just wake up and pop out of bed. But I actually really enjoyed slowly meandering myself up for like 10 minutes-ish. And then once I get up, I, you know, take care of my dog and I prepare for my workout. And as I do that, I'm making my coffee. So I kind of think about, okay, what does my body need? So if I ran a race over the weekend, I'm like, I don't really want to do my Peloton, you know, I'd rather do my bar workout with some resistance bands. I just kind of give myself this freedom to express what my body is telling me. I journal for a couple minutes. I used to make myself journal every morning for a set period of time, but that was causing me stress when I started to do it with, again, this idea that has to be so rigid. I am trying to be much more organic in the way that I connect with other people and connect with myself. It's been just nice to take that pressure off to be anything but what I am for that day. It's been really good. And, you know, I work and afterwards I figure things out, you know, sometimes I connect with other people, but otherwise I've really enjoyed sleeping early.
Amen. Me too. I like that piece about awareness though. You're just tapping into your intuition and your mind and your body. What am I craving right now? What kind of workout am I craving? What kind of food am I craving? Yeah, that's powerful. That's mature.
It took time, right? To do that because I've seen how my energy changes when I'm just so regimented all the time. No doubt we don't get to this place of our life, being professionals, being healers, taking care of many different people, different things, not to have a plan or a structure. But whenever I can to take this moment to say, well, I don't need that. Like, what do I actually feel like right now? I think that's important because that a sense of attunement we don't have. There's not a lot of people that encourage you to do that. And what's the point of being alive if you're not connected to yourself, right? That's dissociation. It's actually something that drives a lot of dissatisfaction in people.
You're inspiring me right now I'm going to watch a movie tonight with my wife instead of, so my daughter's turning 4 this weekend and we got a big party, got family coming up and the yard's a mess. Like I'm very rigid. I want to get everything perfect, but I don't think anyone's going to care if I don't weed whack for this party, right? But that's going to stress me out more and my wife out more. So I'm just going to shut it down tonight and just be present and just enjoy a nice movie and relax and then be prepared for the party tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to figure it out. And honestly, if you like gone home today and you have this pop of energy and your dinner is not ready yet, maybe your energy is calling to that weed whacking, but it's not this push of saying, well, my sense of worth is attached to that. Does that make sense?
For sure.
There's, I think, a difference. It's okay to push it. If your body's like, I'm good. I can push it a little bit more. There have been times where, again, I don't sleep early, right? Because my energy is like, oh, I have these couple things I need to do on my computer. And as much as I don't like to go back to work once I'm at home, I try to shut down certain things. If my energy is calling to me, I also try not to fight it.
Yeah.
Now,
what are you currently reading?
So I read different philosophy books when I'm in this space of wanting to create some more joy in my life. But lately I've been reading a lot of, I'll call them self-help books, but I love Brené Brown. You know, I don't know if you know her as an author, but she writes a lot of books about wholehearted living and courageous leadership and having this authenticity to self that has really been inspiring me lately. So Daring Leadership is a program that she's really honing in on. So all her series on that has been really good for me to remind me to, again, be okay to talk about these types of sensitive topics that used to have a lot more stigma, less with time, but still is difficult for anyone who's type A to really say, well, I need help or I need this. It's been really good for my soul.
So tell me more about your businesses. I think you just have, I know you're a full-time doc with a hospital and then, or maybe it's private practice, but Fit to Be Well. Let's talk about that.
Sure. So about 8 years ago when I developed the brand, I just wanted to have this space where I could do some more wellness consulting work and also some of my complementary modalities I offered that the hospital systems are not as much in favor of. So I'm a Reiki practitioner, aside from being an acupuncturist. I do a lot of health coaching and yoga therapy work. And that, you know, I love my job in the hospital system to offer what I do, but I don't have that space to offer these additional services. Beyond that, I felt like the corporate America needed some a wellness champion to really help guide them in creating strategies and programs to improve the corporate health world for various businesses. So having that umbrella was good for me to go out there to be able to do some consulting work. But by far the most consistent offering that I've been doing are different wellness events. So different retreats that I've hosted that would go through some of these principles and tying with some type of sport. Usually it's a yoga-based program.
Very cool. So how can listeners get more information on your business, connect with you online, and or make an appointment?
So I think the best way nowadays is really DMing on Instagram. I can't believe it. My age, I'm saying DMing. That's how we met, right?
Yeah.
I post all my information on Instagram. Certainly I have my Facebook pages and I have the traditional website, which is fittobewell.com. I invite different people reaching out because I think that's how our world's going to expand our horizons, is this ability to be a little bit more free sourced. Certainly LinkedIn has always been very helpful for various corporations to reach out for me for different consulting projects. So it all depends on how people want to approach that energy.
So you got the corporate side. Now you also have like house calls. You'll go and do one-on-one yoga therapy. You'll do one-on-one acupuncture at people's homes, or do you have your own place?
Yep. I actually go to homes.
Cool.
At the same point. Yep. So my last couple of concierge clients that I've had, I kind of became their health and fitness well-being coach, however way you want to call it. So depending what their needs are, sometimes I just sit there, the older adults, you know, sometimes they just want to be listened to. They just wanted someone to be there to help guide them. So I provide that counseling session. Sometimes I cook them food and I guide them through their fridge and talk about different ways to really make sure that they're optimized on that. Other times they're like, you know, I feel like this pain here, so I'll do more pain management focused evaluation. But a lot of times my intention is to help prevent falls in the older adult population. I go to their homes doing various types of exercises that are yoga, Pilates based at this standpoint, whatever they can tolerate. So for that population, I'm not on the ground with them as much, but doing things in, you know, with chairs and their canned goods, I use those as weights, you know, different ways to kind of coach them along. With telemedicine, I've been able to offer virtual appointments a lot easier and much more accessible to the population. Particularly for health coaching, it's been really good just to touch base with different clients with the virtual platforms. I don't know if you've found that too, you know, quick call to your patients to just be like, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
What can we do? It's huge. It's huge. Yeah. Right? I do a lot of texting with patients, but yeah, it just shows, you just reach out, but there is something to be said about a phone call.
Yeah,
it's so important. It's just a lost art, I think, in the health profession.
I think it's a lost art everywhere in a way. Yeah, you know, having conversations is tough. I think texting, obviously, or the written word has its value because it's quick. It's easy. If you're busy, a quick text is a lot easier than the conversation. But just a few minutes here or there to hear someone's voice, to feel that energy emit through that audio sensory nerve, it's a miracle sometimes.
Patients are always shocked when they can text me and it's my business line, but still they're just like, wait, I can text my doctor. I said, yeah, of course. Like, you're going to have questions and I need to answer them. So text me, call me. But you're right. Sometimes I got to listen to my gut and pick up the phone and call, because sometimes it's like, this is going to be a deeper conversation. I already know it. So I'm going to call them. Yeah.
Yeah. But boundary setting is good. You know, we as healers, I'm like that too, right? I've been staying late because our volumes have increased and I'm here late. And sometimes patients are like, I can't believe I'm doing a virtual appointment with you at 8 o'clock at night, you know, but things need to be done. I think reassessing boundaries are also very helpful in terms of keeping that wellness up for us. You know, that compassion fatigue is real across the board, and particularly for all the clinicians that are critically needed out there right now.
Well, final question. If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here, where would you take them?
One of my favorite places that instills so much peace in my heart is actually Canandaigua Lake. So it's not necessarily the Rochester Center, but I'm very proud of our Finger Lakes and Canandaigua, watching the sun rise and just being out by the peaceful waters, even being in that shallow lake, just kind of breathing in life. It's just, it's really nice. I'm always shocked sometimes when people are not aware of how awesome our lakes are around here. You know,
I got to connect you with my good buddy, Gordy Lara, iHeart FLX. He started that company, like iHeart New York, but iHeart FLX. Yeah. He sells t-shirts and he's got a nice cool brand out there. But he's from from Geneva area. Yeah, Seneca Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should connect you guys.
I would love to.
Yeah. Well, hey, Doc, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for what you do for our community. You give a lot of people hope and you're helping a lot of people. So thank you again.
Yeah, ditto. I really appreciate the conversations that you are sharing with the community, shaking hands with various experienced clinicians who are just, again, as passionate we both are about what we do, and really making someone's day a little bit better and really changing lives one at a time.
Well, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value from what Dr. Wu shared with us today, and we'll share this with family and friends. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me. Go to my website, driscollchiropracticny.com. Read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@driscollchiropracticny.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.